Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Cheers. Boink. You didn't hum the theme this time.
You know, I stopped myself. I was doing it while drinking.
Yeah. Listening back and, like, you know, editing these things, I'm like, damn, I've got quite the stutter. BT. I don't know. It's something I deal with.
So what's been new, man?
Not too much, man. You know, made it through the snowpocalypse here in Austin.
Yeah.
Can't complain. Just lost 2 days of power. People had it worse.
Yeah.
I wasn't cooking snow. I was just piling it into a Yeti cooler and putting beer and cheese in there. So making spaghetti in the dark, you know, like you do in these things. I went into, you know, hurricane mode. I'm from all over the place, but like Michigan and Florida, and like in Florida, like, so Michigan, I'm kind of prepared for blizzards, and then Florida, I'm kind of prepared for hurricanes and power outages and stuff. So, I mean, prepared, I was a kid, but I just know I'm used to it. So I think I know how to go without certain things for a while, if you catch my drift.
That's good. Yeah. I mean, we were very fortunate. We had power and then lost water during the week, but yeah. You know, I know a lot of our fellow Texans and in the surrounding states, you know, went through a lot. So you know, are still coming out of that, or still feeling the effects, you know, sending you nothing but love and positive and warm energy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm working on my thesis right now, and I at one point this weekend I started kind of feel like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, you know, just kind of. Mm-hmm. Just kind of losing it. It was cold outside, you know.
Has anyone else looked at your thesis? It's not just all work and no play, McJake Adobo.
No one's looked at it. So they wouldn't be able to see my psychosis.
Oh no.
Transferred to page, but it was good. I'm glad we were past that. And Today was a lovely 70-something degrees, and I said, this is Texas. Like, this is...
Yeah, it got real warm. It was really weird. What else is new, man? Did you hear they announced the title of the new Spider-Man movie today?
It's not Phone Home, is it? Like, that was a prank?
That was a joke. Yeah, they, like, okay. let the fucking kids do it, or whatever. So, you know, fucking Peter Parker, his friend, and MJ. I think they all Instagrammed a fake title. But it's... Well, because they all have home in them, right?
Oh, shit. I've never noticed that.
Are you serious?
I've never noticed that.
So we had, oh, boy. So we had far, yeah, sorry. We had Homecoming because it was special because Spider-Man was now in Marvel Studios and in MCU. And then we had Far From.
So much better at, like, pulling out, like, those, like, meetings than I am. I just thought it was taking place at Homecoming. God.
Well, it was, but it was a little nod. It was a double entendre.
This is why our podcast partners.
Then we had Far From Home because he's on a European vacation. And this third one is going to be called No Way Home.
Okay.
So maybe he's, you know, lost in the multiverse by all accounts or whatever. So I don't know.
Do you think Toby's coming back?
Well, there were so many rumors in all this, and then Tom Holland, of all people, was like, no, they're not in it. And if they are, I don't know about it. But I'm like, yeah, I don't trust you for a second. I don't trust you as far as I can throw you at. I could probably throw him pretty far. He's like, he seems pretty small. I don't know. I would love that. It looked like they were gearing up for a Spider-Verse. So, but I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, Alfred Molina... And Jamie Foxx,
yeah.
I mean, are both in it. Like they're IMDb a fish.
Appears to be until Kevin Feige flat out says it. I'm waiting because there's other rumors too. There's rumors that Matt Murdock, Daredevil, will show up.
Ooh.
And all this. Did you hear the new rumor about Jennifer Lawrence? Rumor.
Huh?
It's not a rumor. There's a new rumor about Jennifer Lawrence playing the Invisible Woman.
I hadn't heard that, but can we do a new segment on the show called It's Not the Ruma, where we talk about, like...
Yes.
Okay. Right. This is Not the Ruma. Jake and Elliot.
Welcome back to It's Not a Rumor, but Jake and Elliot. There's a rumor that Jennifer Lawrence is in talks to join the Marvel Universe, and everyone assumes that it's for the Invisible Woman in Fantastic Four.
Okay.
But everyone was so psyched for the idea of Emily Blunt and John Krasinski doing it.
Oh, I would die.
Didn't we? I'm sure we brought it up.
Yeah.
I mean, this Sip and Mimos has basically become a MCU podcast. Oh my God. Welcome to Sip and Mimos.
Okay.
This is the show. Sip
and Mimos is Jake and Elliot.
I'm Elliot.
I'm Jake. And this is the internet's premier citrus-based beverage where we discuss 90s electronic and radio rock music.
Correct. But also mostly also while drinking, and we forget to do certain things, and we just talk about mostly the MCU.
Sipping MCUs or
oh yeah, I don't mind that. Meme MCU. Okay, no, nothing there.
Sipping Marvels.
Marvel Mosas. Marvel Mosa's not bad.
I like that. What if you did like a mimosa based drink because it's orange and call it like the Shocker? Yeah.
I'll do you one better. Instead of pouring orange juice into your champagne, you freeze the orange juice in the ice cubes and call it the Thing. Because it looks rocks on his skin. That's not bad. I just came up with that.
That's really good.
That's not bad.
That's really good. Who are we gonna get to play the Thing? Obviously, you're gonna say me. So thanks, thank you for that.
I would love if Jake played the Thing. I don't know who's got like the smolder and pain behind the eyes these days.
I don't really know like a lot of like young actors. You know, going back to like, oh, Hugh Jackman. No, he's already been it. You know, I'm like Ryan Reynolds. Oh shit, no. You know, and I don't know. And you're like, yeah. I'm sure there's an amazing young actor out there who could crush it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just getting older. Right? I don't know what any of those little kids are doing.
Don't you hate that? I remember when like I started getting out of like seriously reading comic books, I would go to the comic book stores and the guy would be like, oh yeah. Well, did you see what Mysterio did in the last issue? And I'm like, no. You know, I have to go home and like Wikipedia it.
You know, and that's how you feel about not knowing young starlets.
Yes, because I feel like because we started a new show. It's like it's Winx. It's on Netflix.
Winx.
Yeah, it's called like Winx, not the Fire Saga. Fate, the Winx Saga.
Okay.
And so it's a show about like this academy for fairies and
I've heard of this. Who was talking about this? Was it you? No, it was someone else.
It's great. We finished it in a weekend.
Oh wow.
And honestly, the main actress on that, her name is Abigail Cohen. She plays Bloom on that show. I think she could be a badass
Invisible Woman. Speaking of what just came into my mind, I tore through Queen's Gambit. Have you seen that?
Oh man.
Did we talk about this on the pod? I ripped through it in like an evening and the morning after because I couldn't fucking stop watching this thing. And that girl, Anya Taylor, whatever the fuck, she would be a dope ass Invisible Woman. Well, unless she's too young. I don't know how old she is.
She's in the New Mutants.
Right. There's also that. And if it's and if it's canon, then they fuck themselves big time. But I don't know, because she plays Ilyana, right?
In
doesn't she play Magic Ilyana? Ilyana, Colossus's sister.
Yeah, Rasputin, right?
Yeah. Speaking of,
so see our last episode for Rasputin vibes.
Right, Rasputin. Vibes. Do you know the song Rasputin by Boney M?
Nuh-uh.
It's one that's like rah rah Rasputin. Lover of the Russian Queen. It's been on my head for a week, and it made me think of you because we talked about Rasputin.
I think the actress, well, I think the whole cast from Stranger Things needs to be in the MCU at some point. but particularly, I think her name's Natalie Dyer, the actress who plays Nancy. I think her name's Nancy in the older sister in Stranger Things.
Okay, the brunette one.
Yeah,
not the girl that gets. Who's the girl that gets got in like the first season and never comes back?
Barb.
Barb. Man, she got the short stick on that show, man.
No. I think...
Well, coming to get you, Barbara.
Was that Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah. Thank you. Nice. Very good.
I think she would play a killer Sue Storm.
The older sister from Stranger Things?
Yeah.
Sure.
But if it's going to be Krasinski, I would love it to Emily Blunt. That would be so cool.
Oh, come on. You have to do that. You got to get them as a package deal. That would be amazing. And they seem to be able to work together fine because they did A Quiet Place. Yeah.
I would take. I bet you it won't be long until we see some of that Stranger Things universe like come over to the MCU. I mean, Millie Bobby Brown, the actress, plays Eleven. She could
right.
She could crush as like an X-Men, you know, like as a like kick-ass powerful, you know.
What if she was Shadow Cat?
That would be dope.
That's not bad. Oh man. I think all those Stranger Things kids are so May in the Shade. I don't think half of them are going to be in the new Ghostbusters or whatever, whenever that comes out.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're all set for life, those little fucks. What else has been new, man, besides the MCU nonsense? We can't just talk about that.
That's about it. I mean,
okay.
It's really been focused, really been getting in a lot of arguments on Reddit about the MCU and
totally. Yeah, I don't have time to get in a fight. This is what Sip and Mimos is for. I can talk about it with you. I did a deep dive in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Are you into this show?
Oh, I love Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Why didn't anyone tell me how good the show is?
I think it's awesome. Told you how good it was.
Did you on the show?
Like years ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, like first I combo. I'm like, hey man, cool. Awesome. So you like
nice music? To meet you.
Hey, do you ever watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine? And then you cussed me out, and then that was it.
Well, it's interesting because I used to live in Brooklyn.
So okay. Ah, see, that's my thing. took my stick, man.
No, go ahead. No, you had something prepared. I would never take that away from you, Jakey.
I think about those like days. And I'm like, how can I connect? How can I swing around? But no, Brooklyn Nine's killer.
I'm still laughing. I would never. Okay, I'm sorry. Wow. You guys, like listeners, you know, usually I'm the grumpy one and Jake's all, you know, flowers and sunshine, but like you should have seen his eyes light up when I almost segued without his permission. He got real upset. That's the real Jake. The Jake that the listeners don't see, the behind the scenes Jake who smacks me around and
That's my bit.
Yeah. People don't know that you're in character for the entire episode. Just pretending to be a nice dude.
When like the show's over, I just like, well, that was a good episode, wasn't it?
That's the real Jake voice.
Time to get back to watching Hulu. Ta-ta.
Like, all right, ta-ta, Jake. Oof. Make sure this episode is on time. Not like last time.
Can you put the effect on my voice? Jesus Christ, Elliot.
It took me a long time to get the BT versus Tool Up episode out, listeners, because fucking, well, that was going on, but Texas was out of power for a week, so fuck off. If you're upset. Oh, by the way, we're on Spotify again, and I'm gonna try to get us on Apple, like a real podcast, like a real boy. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, I just did a deep dive and just had it on in the background for like a long time, you know, especially last week when nothing was going on, and when I had power, I just had it on the whole time, and oh, I love it. Love the show. And it's like really cool that like I like, you know, Andy Samberg's like so like annoying in it, but also like a genius detective, which is like makes the show so interesting because if he was a shitty person and a shitty detective, if he was a goofy person and a shitty detective, the show wouldn't work. But he's like a savant, which is like hilarious to me. And it's like really well written. And I'm like already in like season 5 where it starts to get kind of real sometimes. I'm like, whoa, this is kind of awesome. And I love the chief or the captain or no, yeah, captain. Shit.
Andrew Brower, right?
Yeah. Has he been in shit?
Oh, Andre Brower, sorry.
Andre Brower. Okay. Has he been in anything before this? Because he's a,
big bro.
What? Okay. What?
Let me take you to 2007.
Okay.
Little movie comes out in the theaters. You know, 2007 was a year before Iron Man. The last, like, ring out of, like, the Marvel movies before things started getting real with Phase 1.
You're shitting me. He was in a Marvel movie?
Fantastic Four. Silver.
No.
He played a general who hires Reed Richards to figure out what the Silver Surfer is all about.
Whoa.
He's the one where he goes, then again, you probably wouldn't know football, Dr. Richards. And then Reed Richards goes, you know what? You're right, General. I didn't play football. But you know what I did? I went to school and I married the hot girl. And now the guy who played football is asking me for help. And then Jessica Alba as Sue Storm goes, I'm so hot for you right now. And then Chris Evans as Johnny Storm goes, me too.
Okay. It might surprise you to know that I haven't spent a lot of time with those shit Fantastic Four movies.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just ruined my laptop because I threw my drink at the camera.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
No, I'm just playing.
Oh.
Yeah, he was totally in it. And then he was in, did you ever see Glory with Matthew Broderick and Denzel?
He was in Glory?
Mm-hmm.
Love Glory. Wow. All right, I guess I'm a fucking dumbass. Usually I'm really good at like picking up on that and like recognizing you know, people from other shit. But he's a revelation on that show. Man. He's really fucking astonishing.
Oh, he's killer.
He's really good.
He's like, of course I thought it was funny. Didn't you hear my laugh? And he's like, can't you tell my voice? Because yeah. He talks, he's like so like monotone the whole time. He's like, you can hear my excitement in my voice. Or
like, yeah, he's like, look at me. I'm beside myself. Like, it's awesome. I love that. His delivery is so great. Oh, man. It's so funny.
He was also in a previous. He was a. Last summer, we talked about a little band led by Jonathan Resnick.
Oh.
The Goo Goo Dolls. Uh-huh. Their big song, Iris, which was on Dizzy Up the Girl, our Goo Goo Dolls Underworld episode.
Oh, I remember that one.
That song was for a little movie called City of Angels.
We keep coming back to this fucking weird City of Angels movie. He was in City of Angels.
He played an angel named Cassiel.
It wasn't Captain Holt?
No. It was
Is it Chief? Shit, I forget.
I just think we're going to have to eventually talk about City of Angels.
I guess.
I feel like all roads lead to City of Angels.
I don't think all roads lead there, but several seem to. Can I pick a movie too for movie night on Sip and Mimo?
You know, one of the things I love most about Brooklyn Nine-Nine is it seems like a lot of it is actually shot on location, and you see like the richness of the city, and you get a really good vibe for the city of Brooklyn. And I have to say that that
don't let it fall apart. It's right there. Get it.
I gotta say that, you know, another way to really get an experience of a place is listening to an artist like so closely associated with that place, you know, like, so for example, to get like an image of like what Seattle was like in the 90s, I would listen to like Soundgarden, Alice in Chains, of course, Nirvana, you know, California, I would listen to, you know, a band like the Beach Boys for the 50s, you know, Tupac, Green Day for the 90s, you know, Chili Peps always.
Sure.
You know, if I wanted to get a good feeling for what Brooklyn was like in the 80s or 90s, I would look no further than my artist this week, Mr. Christopher Wallace, aka Notorious B.I.G.
Here we go.
Yeah. This album is dedicated to all the teachers that told me I never amount to nothing. To all the people that lived above the buildings that I was hustling from that called the police on me when I was just trying to make some money to feed my daughter. And all the niggas in the struggle, you know what I'm saying? It's all good, baby, baby. It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine. Salt and pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, Rap Attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall. I let my tape rock till my tape pop. Smoking weed and bamboo, sipping on private stock. Way back when I had the red and black lumberjack with the hat to match. Remember rapping Duke? Da-ha, you never thought that hip-hop would take it this far. Now I'm in the limelight cause I rhyme tight. Time to get paid, blow up like the World's Trade. Born sinner, the opposite of a winner. Remember when I used to eat sardines for dinner? Peace to Ron G, Brucey B, Kid Capri. Funk, Master Flex, Love Bug, Star Ski. I'm blowing up like you thought I would. Call a crib, same number, same hood. It's all good. And if you don't know, now you know, nigga. I made the change from a common thief to up close and personal with Robin Leach. And I'm far from cheap, I smoke soap with my peeps all day. Spread love, it's the Brooklyn way. The Moet and Alizé keep me pissy. Girls used to diss me, now they write letters cause they miss me. I never thought it could happen, this rapping stuff. I was too used to packing gats and stuff. Now honeys play me close like butter play toast. From the Mississippi down to the East Coast. Condos in Queens, in dough for weeks. Sold out seats to hear Biggie Small speak. Living life without fear, putting 5 carats in my baby girl ear. Lunches, brunches, interviews by the pool. Considered a fool cause I dropped out of high school. Stereotypes of a black male misunderstood. And it's still all good, And if you don't know, now you know, nigga.
Elliot, this week I had to listen to Notorious B.I.G.'s 1994, I'm going to say masterpiece, Ready
to Die. Oh my.
And, you know, listening to both our albums this week, I won't say what album we're listening to for you just yet, but listening to both our albums, I found a lot of similarities.
Did too. Again, here we are, because like we had some similarities with BT and Tool with like extended songs and and experiments and all this. And this time we're both doing lower tempo stuff. We're both doing two different genres that end in hop. But now let's dive into Ready to Die.
So just right off the bat, what'd you think about it?
Awesome. It's a dark, menacing party album.
Yeah,
these are party anthems, man. These are party classics. I've, you know, heard, you know, plenty of these tunes, of course. You know, these are fucking jams you throw on at any, and you're just gonna crush the pool party. You're gonna crush the house party. Everyone's enjoying this shit. Such an unlikely character, this dude. You know, Biggie Smalls, Notorious B.I.G., whatever. He's got many monikers, I suppose. But he's rapping about tragic and violent and upsetting shit. Mm-hmm. He's talking about, you know, how rough his life is, and, you know, and jail and violence and how many guns he has because he needs to. And then he'll, you know, talk about how he treats women in a good way. He's like, nah, girl, I'll ask you cool questions. I don't know what these guys are talking to you about, but like, let me ask you how you're doing. What's up? I'll make you laugh. Your friends should get to know my friends. Shit like that, which is really kind of adorable. But then like, there's, you know, stuff like, oh, we're going to run in this place and kill everybody. Or like, I don't think my mom's going to miss me when I eventually die, and I'm going to die real soon. This seems to be a theme in all his shit. I'm going to die. And sooner than later. And that's such a dark idea. But like, he's rapping about these things while everyone's dancing in the background. Yeah. It's such an interesting, interesting combination of ideas. But I really enjoyed it, of course. You know, I mean, come on, these are bomb tunes. They're fucking it slaps.
Had you listened to much of Notorious B.I.G. prior to this?
You know, of course, I heard Big Papa and Juicy and stuff like that. Just from a phrase that I use on the show, like cultural osmosis and all that. Just from being out and around and all this. And I knew the stories they talk about, like the East Coast versus West Coast stuff.
Yeah.
And I apologize, but I forgot if this was like another, well, maybe it was because you recommended it. I was like, oh, is he West Coast? Because all your shit's West Coast, seems to be.
Pretty much.
You seem to enjoy West Coast and I seem to enjoy Europe a great deal. So, I mean, whatever. But, and I was like, oh no, that's, definitively East Coast. And then, I enjoyed it a great deal. Of course. Yeah. These songs are fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. I'm so happy you enjoyed it. Yeah. Growing up, I think because I was so, first rap I ever really got into was like Eminem.
Sure.
And Eminem was famously produced by Dr. Dre,
Right.
And Dr. Dre is so closely associated with that West Coast sound. I mean, gangster rap. I mean, Dr. Dre he's the seed for that, I mean, especially with his work with NWA, So I kind of trickled down from Eminem to Dr. Dre, and then I got to Tupac, So growing up, I loved Tupac. I had his greatest hits. And I listened to it nonstop. I couldn't buy any other CDs because it was like parental advisory and I was too young.
Wow.
I don't know if it was just like a thing like grownups told me, but like you had to be a certain age to buy parental advisory CDs or something like that.
I mean, I think that was the idea, but I don't think fucking Sam Goody at the mall was really.
I was always so afraid to not even try. I'm like, oh, no.
What about the Tupac and the West Coast rap of it all? Did you what resonated with you?
I really liked. I was young, so I was like maybe middle school, 13, 14, around there. I remember Tupac. I remember connecting with his stories of like his struggle as a black man. I remember it really like hitting me, and I mean it gave me like such an incredible like perspective on what his life was like. It's something that of course I'll never know, but it was such a insightful experience to hear Tupac for the first time and to hear his poetry and hear his lyrics. It was a really mind-blowing experience and really eye-opening. And he did it in such an eloquent way. He did it in such a powerful way. And I think as a young kid, that really connected with me.
Yeah.
And I remember only really being exposed to like Big Papa by Notorious B.I.G. when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, I don't really, I remember clear thinking as a teenager, like, oh, this is just like, it's just like a party song. Like Tupac's mm-hmm. rapping about like, he seems like he's rapping about like real stuff,
Uh-huh.
And because I'd never heard Ready to Die before. And then it wasn't until I got to college and I bought a copy of Ready to Die on CD from a used CD store. And
used CD store. Wow.
Oh yeah. Once upon a time, right?
Yeah.
I put it in, I put it in my CD player on the ride home. And as soon as intro started playing and you start hearing.
Yeah.
It's like, so the album's called Ready to Die. And
yeah,
it's the story of this man growing up, getting involved in gangs and drugs and robberies, and kind of accepting his fate that he's going to die as a result of it, And the intro for this record just knocked my socks off. It starts off with, he's born. Literally, there's like, they're in the hospital, and then it shows that he, what family life was like for him, and then
yeah.
It shows him, I say shows, but you can hear him, like, you know, being involved in a robbery. Yeah. And then it ends with him being let out of prison. You know, he's like, I have big plans.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm sorry?
No, go ahead, please, finish.
Wait. Oh, no, I'd never heard anything like that, like, for a rap album, you know? Like,
yeah.
The theatrical nature of it was just, it, like, gives me chills thinking about it today. Like, it's just,
oof, awesome. Yeah, there's such a huge element of storytelling going on, you know? Like, you know, you can, the production and whatever can fuck off, like, the storytelling, because this guy's telling stories, man. And like, he's like, this is where I used to be. Like, the album opens with a heartbeat. And forgive me if I'm wrong, but I think it's bookended by a heartbeat at the very end.
I believe, like, so, yeah.
And this guy just, like, knows, he's clearly a hyper-intelligent human. And he's like, here's my story. I want to tell it. And like, I'm ready to die because I know I'm going to. Like, it's just going to happen. Like, he just had this, he just knows. Which is it's a wild thought, but like, acceptance of fate isn't something you might apply to, you know, albums like these, you know, East Coast, West Coast rivalry, hip hop party albums. But there's some real shit going on here, you know, yeah. behind throw your hands in the air, like you're a true player. There's some real, you know, dark thoughts going on here, which I think is, fantastic. My favorite lyric from the album, when I met you, I admit my first thought was to trick, but you look so good, huh? I'll suck on your daddy's dick.
Was that on me and my B?
Yeah, I was kind of kidding because that was my favorite line on the album, but it wasn't, it's not, it's clearly not very serious. But like, you're so hot, I'll suck your dad's dick. That's an amazing lyric.
It's like witty, you know, like, and
oh, it's crazy witty. The guy's funny.
So Christopher Wallace, Notorious B.I.G., he says he started dealing drugs. He claimed to have started dealing drugs at age 12.
Right.
Ready to Die drops in September 1994, and he was only 22 years old. Like these lyrics on this album, you know, sound like they're written by a person who's lived two lifetimes, you know, and he's dropping this at 22. Like, and of course, a lot of the lyrics for the album are famously autobiographical. You know, Biggie did, you know, he was involved in a lot of rough things. One thing I didn't know about this. So I've listened to this album, you know, dozens of times. Right after Give Me the Loot. I literally always thought that was two rappers. No, that's just him.
Oh, yeah.
On the same track.
Yeah. I saw, you know, I'm looking at, I was watching all the videos and stuff like that, and, like, he's rapid conversations with himself, and he'll have, like, fucking Puff Daddy, like, play the other character in the video and all that. Because Puff Daddy's in every goddamn video. Yeah. I mean, I've got thoughts on that, but like, whatever. He seems like a scumbag. Anyway, but he's writing these songs in those conversations. This is some fucking poetry, man. This is beautiful.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of it was like off the top of his head. Like he freestyled a lot of this stuff, you know, which is just really incredible. There's an amazing video of him. I think he's like maybe like. He's a teenager, but he's freestyling in like a rap battle on the street in Brooklyn, and he's like, he was such an incredible artist, and he accomplished so much in such a short amount of time. I grew up on Eminem and Tupac and Dr. Dre, but I mean, if you were to ask me what my favorite rap and hip hop album is, I would put Ready to Die at the top of that list. I mean,
wow. What's the Tupac album that you would put up to fight this one in an album battle? East Coast versus West Coast. What would you put up against this one? Would you do NWA or something like that?
I would do NWA Straight Outta Compton.
For the best West Coast, and this is the best East Coast?
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking at like All Eyes on Me by Tupac. That one came out like 96. Mm-hmm. I hate to say my greatest hits would be my favorite album, but growing up listening to that Tupac's Greatest Hits was just such a important experience for me as a young music fan. I would say Tupac's Greatest Hits. But this album as a whole is just absolutely incredible.
It's really impressive. Favorite tunes on here?
My favorite one is probably Respect. It's got like a real strong, like it's super funky. It's got a real, Notorious B.I.G.'s parents, if I'm not mistaken, are both from Jamaica. And so it's got a real like strong, like Jamaican feel to it.
I'm remembering. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Gotta respect. Me and My Bitch. I mean, it's like a sad, really sad, beautiful, tragic love story, you know?
Yeah.
Ready to Die, Machine Gun Funk, Give Me the Loot. There's so much to love on this record, and you nailed it right off the bat. I mean, the stories on this album are just absolutely
incredible. He's just giving you a place, and like beyond storytelling, he's giving you such a setting and describing such as wild life and all this, and like this world. There's world building in these tunes, and I think it's fucking awesome. So love.
Well, one of the things that I talked about our albums kind of having something in common, both artists have a very limited output. I think your artist only has only three albums. Notorious B.I.G. has two.
He just has two?
Yeah. There's some like collaborative stuff that he's done that they've released, but in his lifetime, he only released, actually his second album, Life After Death.
Posthumous, yeah?
Yeah. Which is so interesting because both albums are centered around the idea of death. Ready to Die, Life After Death. So I feel like Christopher Wallace, he knew. He must have known. He must have had some feeling that his time on Earth was limited, so he had to make the most of it, and I certainly think he did.
And honestly, speaking of death and the, and the afterlife and the ethereal plane, I can't think of a better soundtrack for Life After Death than Portishead's Dummy.
Portishead's Dummy.
Let's go.
Let's go.
This one is fucking gorgeous. I was just outside and I was telling a neighbor, oh, I'm going to talk about Portishead tonight. And she was like, who the hell is Portishead? So I grabbed my trusty boombox, brought it outside and played some Portishead. I'm like, this is Portishead. And then another neighbor popped his head out, was like, this is the best album of all time.
Oh.
He goes, 1994's Dummy by Portishead. I'm like, yes, correct. And that very much might be. Jake, what did you think of Portishead's Dummy?
It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous record.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that it? Good night, everybody.
Hey. Okay. Hey, thanks. No. Tune in next week when we talk about WandaVision. It was so neat because, I mean, having just come off of listening to Ready to Die and revisiting that, heard a lot of like really interesting, kind of like the same kind of like drum samples, kind of similar, even like scratching that they were doing.
Yeah.
But it is with this like, you know, beautiful vocal over it, you know, like,
yeah,
that's, I'm like, you know, if Biggie were to like drop a vocal over like a Portishead song, it would work. It would work out perfectly.
I was thinking that too, and I'm sure we could find one. I'm sure there's a mashup somewhere of Biggie over a Portishead instrumental. There has to be. It's so silly. I probably have one in my collection somewhere. I'm sure there's a white label remix of, you know, of Biggie over Portishead, because this shit it's the same tempo.
Yeah.
So with Portishead, we were driving back into trip hop that we visited with DJ Shadow, if you recall.
Mm-hmm.
Introducing, which is, you know, one of my favorite albums of all time. And if you're going down that trip hop avenue, you can't talk about it without Portishead and without Dummy. Every song in here is absolutely gorgeous and creepy. I mean, like creepy, maybe I mean moody. There's something dark going on here. Beth Gibbons, the vocalist, is fucking fantastic, but she has this desperate quiver in her voice that you listen to this music, you're kind of worried about her. And I think that's a breathtaking performance and thing to listen to. You don't listen to a lot of bands that you worry about. It's just meant to put you in a state. The weird scratching, like they recorded music on their own and then printed it onto vinyl, and then they said, yeah, like they walked over it in the studio, like to warp the vinyl and then scratch with it, so it's like all dusty and weird. You get that weird, you know, dusty old, you know, old fashioned sounding kind of production, but also like the bass is so crisp and will blow your goddamn speakers out because it's so lovely. I think it's tremendous, and it's genre defying as trip hop, and I think it's just transcendent. I think I said last week, it's this is my go-to like makeout music.
It's very sultry.
Sultry, sure. Beautiful. Yes, well done.
I mean, Introducing came out in 96, this was 94. Do you think DJ Shadow was informed and inspired by what Portishead was doing? Because when you said that, I was like, oh, you know what? There are certainly similarities between these.
That's a good question. I'm sure if you asked him, he might be like, yeah, no problem. Shadow was trying to make a hip-hop album and accidentally made a trip-hop album. And these guys were trying to make a new genre. You know, there's weird random horn stabs and strings and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And stuff like that, like, Shadow's not doing. He's more like, you know, how can I make a moody hip-hop album? And this is just straight up. DJ Shadow is marijuana. Portishead is red wine.
Okay.
Is that going to be a new segment on the show?
Yeah.
Because I was like, Oakenfold's is the art gallery owner and BT's the painter. I think that adds up, though. Let's make a beautiful sadness kind of thing, you know? I don't think that's necessarily Shadow's goal, but like it's perfected here, I think.
One of the things that I heard in a lot of this music was, it kind of reminded me of like listening to like an espionage, of like a soundtrack you would see like in an espionage movie, like a James Bond kind of feel.
With the ba-da, boom, ba-da, which is almost the same cadence of the James Bond thing. I think it's just an octave lower, but it's the same phrasing and all that. But yeah, it could take place in a James Bond movie. And I heard a lot of, I don't know if you're not quite a gamer, are you? I was like, you know, watching some of their videos on YouTube and just scrolling down, and more than a few times people were saying this would be such a good soundtrack to a Silent Hill game, which I think are like kind of scary horror games. But
I can see that.
I don't know if that's a good comment to have, but favorite tracks on here? Anything stand out?
Favorite tracks. I liked the opening track. Is that Mr. Runs? It sounded like a theremin playing on that.
Yes, there's absolutely a theremin.
Which I mean,
like, there's a horror element here. It's amazing.
Like, it's certainly sci-fi, certainly like horror vibes to that. Famously, because you know, a Star Trek kind of gives you that. Strangers, while it wasn't my favorite track on the album, I loved the drums on it. I thought the drums were amazing sounding. On Wandering Star, you can really hear hip hop element. There's a lot of scratching on that one.
You might like. I think the some of the chord progression in that one, and It's a Fire are like. They show like a little bit of hope, I think, but like maybe, but I don't know.
The vocals on Numb were my favorite on the record, which was tough because I mean, Beth Gibbons, I've never this is my first time really hearing Portishead.
Yeah.
But I was just so entranced by her vocals.
Did you like him? Because if you don't like the vocalist, this band's not gonna work for you. But did you dug Beth?
I did. I it worked so well with this, with like what the music is being. Yeah,
it's like a real collaboration between her and I think it's, what is it, Jeff Barrow. Sorry, and
one of the guys, Andrew. Is it Andrew Utley or?
I think Adrian Utley. Adrian. I think he's on guitar or strings or whatever, and Jeff Barrow is like kind of producing slash. Okay. He's just trying to put this, and they had, and I think Adrian Utley was like, the one was like, what if we had horn stabs and stuff like that? And they're like, oh my God, that'd be awesome. Like, you know, like James Bondy-ish and shit like that. Because there was a weird, like, timeless, like, you could, if this album came out in the 60s, you'd be like, oh, okay. But if this album came out yesterday, you'd be like, oh, okay. Like, because it's kind of weirdly timeless in like what they're doing. They weren't trying to be the definitive 90s trip hop album, but they just happened to be, but they're just doing their own thing. And it's happened to define a genre and maybe be one of the best albums of the decade, electronic ones.
I think that's like the story with like most of those albums that turn out to be like the defining ones. You know, like they weren't like Nevermind. You know, it just happened. You know.
Yeah, we accidentally made a classic.
So closing thoughts on Dummy. I can't believe I'd never heard this record before. It was like, it worked as a soundtrack to a movie that doesn't exist, that should exist.
Love that.
I loved it. The music, the vocals were creepy, were gorgeous, were lush. I will certainly be returning to this one.
Oh, I hope you do. Fantastic, man. I'm glad you dug it. If you like this, you're going to love their next couple albums. And they have a really beautiful live album with this whole symphony. Oof! They just elevate their sound. I'm going to do it. Shit, are we ready for this one yet? I don't know. Oh, boy. Okay, now this is a big one.
Hit me.
All right. For next episode, I'm going to have you listen to... Jake, I'm gonna be so heartbroken if you don't just get this one. It's like, get it. I'm gonna have you listen to it's time. I'm gonna have you listen to Orbital. I'm gonna have you listen to Orbital's album Insides. It was released in 1996.
Orbital Insides.
It is the fourth album by British electronic group Orbital. They're two brothers. It's the Hartnell brothers. And this album is everything to me, Jake. So don't go breaking my heart.
This one's on their Spotify Essential Albums. So,
of course it is.
I'm
also going to insist, though, that you listen to the version with the bonus CD. There's a couple extra tracks. We'll talk about it, and I'll make sure you listen to it.
Okay.
But because there's one track on the bonus disc that's truly essential. Okay, there I did it. I'm out there now. Oh, I feel so raw. Ah, I'm out in the open. Okay. What you got for me, Jake?
Okay. As I've mentioned it before on our show, I've been over the past year or so. I've been writing about the history of heavy metal in my beloved hometown of San Antonio, Texas.
Yes.
And one character is perhaps most associated with that scene than anyone else. And he's one of my all-time favorite artists. And I had to verify just a couple minutes ago, and yes, this album is celebrating its 30th anniversary this September.
Oh wow!
It was released in September 1991, and my friend Elliot, I am going to have you listen to Ozzy Osbourne's "No More Tears."
Ozzy Osbourne.
Yes, sir.
This is going to be the dopest episode. Ozzy?
Dude, I'm not even going to lie to you. This album rips. Like,
okay.
You have Zakk Wylde on guitar, and he's just like running. He's just running free and wild, and it's a fun rock album. I'm so excited to discuss this one.
Oh, boy. I'm really concerned that my album's going to be the exact opposite, but I mean, maybe that'll make for a really good episode.
yeah, we've like connected so far, but this might be the one that'd be like, okay.
Yeah. Well, maybe that'll make for a better episode. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out. All right. I'm excited. Wait, what's it called again? Ozzy Osbourne's solo.
No More Tears.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go.
And be on the lookout for the title track. You're gonna listen for the title track, "Mama, I'm Coming Home." Those are my two favorites. "I Don't Want to Change the World." Woo! You're in for a treat.
All right.
Well, all right, Elliot, gentle listener, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of Sippin' Mimos.
You know what? I think this might have been our best episode yet.
I think this might be the best one yet.
I think so too.
In the meantime, I'll listen to a new episode. Listen for our next episode. Check out some Notorious B.I.G.
Yes.
Check out some Portishead.
Yes.
Listen. Oh, be sure to listen to Elliot and I's dear friend Maddie's podcast.
Oh my God, I almost forgot. Yes,
this band is real.
Oh my God,
we
almost forgot again.
Elliot and I both played on. We were both part of the house band for season one.
Yes.
And it was such a blast, and they're having their season finale tonight. Look them up. It's such a blast. Maddie's a genius. She's wonderful. This band is real.
Yeah, they are friends of the pod. So please, if you like our show, please go check them out.
But in the meantime, I am done with my second drink. So I think I'm going to go make a third one and watch Brooklyn Nine-Nine because I want to revisit it.
I think I might do the same, man. All right, man. Cheers to you, Jake, and cheers to everyone out there. Everyone be safe.
Be safe out there. Elliot, I'll see you next time.
Later, man.
Later, bro.
Okay.